Okay, I've got the official go-ahead from the camera person, so I will do that. Okay, I want to talk to you a little bit about the guru and the beggar. Okay, and let me define the terms. Okay, the guru is meant not as the word is usually used, like, oh, he's a tech guru, or he's a, you know, he's a coach guru, or interchangeable with a maven, someone who has expertise, or he's a guru, he's a spiritual guru, he, you know, teaches crystals or teaches mindful meditation or whatever it is. I'm using guru respectfully as interchangeable with a sound current master, okay? And I'm going to tell this story, and I'm going to tell it in, I will be using American currency, and I'll also just, to make it easier, and I'll also make it presented as a current kind of event, okay? So there was a guru, master of the sound current, was walking down the street. And he had adopted a policy of basically giving money to anyone who asked, if for no reason other than they had asked. Okay, they didn't even need a reason. Okay, so one day he came upon this person begging in the street. And as was his policy, he reached into his pocket and came up with a wad of bills. Okay, and his habit was always to give, remember I'm giving this in American currency, was to give a dollar. Sometimes he would give five, but usually it was a dollar to everyone. So he could be running an errand and he'd give out many dollar bills. And in this particular case, reached into his pocket, pulled out a wad of bills, and he was going to give a dollar. But the top bill was a $5 bill. And he noticed there was a part of him that wanted to give the dollar. And he said, no, I'm going to give whatever was on top to be given. Okay. So he gave the beggar the $5. And the guru knew that it was all the same. That the dollar and the $5 were all the same. And the guru, not that he was looking to be supplied, because being the master of the sound current, he was at God. The consciousness had merged, and he, in fact, was the source of supply. So he knew that there was no difference, and he gladly gave the $5. Okay? The beggar thanked him, noted it was $5, and was more effusive than usual. Okay? And that's the difference between a guru and a beggar. Okay? And let me explain what I mean. Okay? The guru, master of the sound current, was at God. His consciousness was at God. Okay? All right. The beggar was falsely identified with the being in time and space and was identified with the ego. And from there's always a place of lack and limitation. Lack and limitation. See, the guru had come to the realization many years ago that when he was giving to a beggar, he was giving to God. That it was the God within the beggar. And so he gave to God in the form of a beggar. And he would bless the beggar because the beggar gave the guru the opportunity and the privilege to give to God in the form of the beggar. So the guru practiced proper identification. Okay? Most of us, when we're not living royally as the spirit we are, we walk around separate from God, separate from spirit, and we buy into lack and limitation and effort, etc., etc. Okay? And so it seems so hard to get the dollar. And even harder to get $5, okay? And how worthy are we of even getting the dollar or of the $5? We have to beg for it. When the truth is, just as the guru happily gave the beggar $5, God supplies and gives us whatever we need. That's the truth of spirit. That's the truth of spirit, okay? Okay, now I appreciate this is a world in which, you know, if you kneel down before a football game, then you're really embarking on a wonderful course of social justice, etc., etc., okay? But if you kneel down after the football game, or have your team kneel down after the football game in prayer, you're going to get fired. You're going to lose your job. Okay? I appreciate that it's all inside out and backwards. Okay? But it's inside out and backwards within us. Okay? Because the truth is, we need to give up and let go of being a beggar, begging for love, begging for attention, begging for affection, begging for anything, and know that we are supplied and be at the God point, which is that we are loved and cared about, and we move beyond that we're loved and cared about to the simple truth that we are that love and we are that caring. So we are that which we're begging for. What's the difference between the guru and the beggar? They're all wearing the same outfit. They're both wearing a human body. What's the difference? Okay? But it's the consciousness, it's the focus, it's the effort that has been placed. You know, it's really fascinating to me. We value this thing called democracy, right? And yet even in those countries where we have quite advanced democracies, there are always mitigating factors. There are always forces of fascism and other forces at work. In this country, what you see now is you see left-wing fascism. Respond to a president, and you respond as if you're a fascist. Okay, you personalize it. Okay, and we have all this craziness going on. Okay, it's all out of false identity. Okay, just a soul. The president is a soul. Okay, on its karmic path, getting its karmic learning. Okay? You don't know what that karmic learning is. Don't judge the president and don't judge anybody for where they're at or how they're expressing, because they're getting their karmic learning. You know? Somebody asked me, well, why do we have to put up with it? Well, real simple. We've all agreed to. We've all agreed by being on the karmic field, we've agreed to participate. Okay? If you're driving down the highway, I don't wish to take this name in vain, but let's say you're on the right lane, okay? And there's a car in the center lane. I thought that was pretty good, but that's okay. Who wants to squeeze into your lane? You have to adjust. You're in it together. You have to either allow them to change lanes or speed up so they can do it behind you or whatever. But you always have to accommodate and be aware of the other drivers on the highway. We're all in it together. So the highway of life, we're all in it together, okay? So we need to accommodate others. And how do we do that? Okay, you do what the guru did. The beggar was sitting on the sidewalk, on the street. And the guru, who was rather a tall person, rather a large person, had no trouble bending all the way down and putting the money in the cup. He met the beggar where they're at. We need to meet people where they're at, not in a condescending way, not in a judgmental way or anything, okay? But we need to be at the level that they're at, bring God to that level, and then just express and lift up that person from there. That's how you do it, okay? That's how you do it. It's not a better than, it's not, oh, poor, unfortunate. The guru didn't go, oh, poor, unfortunate person who's a beggar. Okay, because he knew that that was karmically correct. That expression of begging was karmically correct. He had no judgment on it. That person to him was not less than or anything. Okay? But on the contrary, really, the person was valued because he gave the guru the opportunity to give to God in that form. That's pretty cool. Okay? But many of us, what we do is we categorize people, we judge people, we do hierarchies, etc., etc. Okay? But as soon as we do that, as soon as we judge someone, we've judged ourselves, because it's the same spirit. If we're jealous of someone or what they have, then we're coming from the place of being a beggar. Because jealousy means that we believe that we can't have what the other person has. So we're envious. We're jealous. Okay? And that's an easy shot, rather than allow ourselves to be lifted to the place of at one moment. Okay, so the guru and the beggar are also telling us something else. Okay, they're telling us how to live. Okay? It was karmically correct for the person to be a beggar. That beggar provided an opportunity, even for the sainted sound current master. He gave the master an opportunity to share, an opportunity to give. Okay? So everybody gives us an opportunity. Doesn't matter what form it takes. Doesn't matter how it looks. And we're busy many times anticipating or judging how things should look, how they should be. You know, there's a classic cartoon of this old lady crossing the street and she's going against the red light. And somebody screams out to her, "Watch it!" And she turns around and lifts her cane and admonishes the person for screaming at her to watch it. And of course, as she's admonishing this person, she gets splattered. She gets hit by a car. Okay? Because she was so focused on the way things should be, how it should look. Okay, so we have to watch out for that. Okay, the guru wasn't fooled by the beggar and what the beggar looked like and the form that this interaction took. He even used the beggar to be with God. And he knew that that was the role of that beggar in his life at that particular time. And with that recognition, there was the gratitude to God for always supplying the opportunity to the guru to be at God and with God. Kind of a great system. Okay? But you need to be able to recognize it. The guru recognized it immediately and instinctively. He knew immediately. Just like he knew there was no difference between giving the beggar a $1 and a $5 bill. That the guru wasn't going to have $4 less because he'd given $4 more. He knew that instinctively. Okay? All right, so as part of the flow, he knew that he was, in fact, the flow. He knew that he was the source of supply. Okay? He knew that there was no separation and that the constant reminder that he always was being given was always a blessing. And he didn't judge those people who in their consciousness had separated themselves out from God, from Spirit, and lived accordingly and begged. Okay? And I see so many of us walking around like beggars, not knowing how blessed we are, how fortunate we are, how wealthy we are. And so I really would like to charge you with the opportunity to work it inside out and backwards. See how blessed you are. But not this nonsense of, there but for the grace of God go I. Why? That other person doesn't have grace? Grace isn't available to that other person? That other person's situation in life is not karmically correct? There's no God in that person's life? What? There but for the grace of God go? Go I? That's another beggar's mentality. There but for God's grace. There's always grace going on. Okay? Take a breath yourself. Try to take a breath yourself. Try to breathe yourself. You're not going to be able to do that, are you? There's grace available, okay? All right, So what I'd like you to do now is just, I'm going to call in the light, and I want you inside yourself to just do an honest inventory. Remember, it's blameless responsibility. There's no judgment. I'm not asking you to beat yourself up, blame yourself or anything. But just do an honest, quick inventory of the places in your life in which you play the role of begging, of being a beggar, of which you practice false identity, which you identify with your ego, this being isolated in time and space, separated from God, separated from the Spirit, thinking you are your body, thinking you are your thoughts and your feelings. Okay? So, Lord God, send us your light. We put this time together into your light for the highest good. Okay? Now, inside yourself, just do a quick inventory of all the places in your life which you approach as a beggar. Those places, what I'd like you to do is one by one revisit them as the guru, as someone who properly identifies him or herself as the spirit they are, as someone who is loved, and not only loved, but is that love. And one who is supplied, and not only who is supplied, but is the supply. Someone who's cared about. Not only that, is the very caring that you're seeking. Okay. Now when you can, bring your consciousness back here. And I just want to quickly ask you, what, if any, was the difference for you between being a beggar and being the guru? Okay, anyone's free to share. And if phone line, if you need to unmute, just unmute.
This is Marlene. What I found was different to me, that there was a lightness and a freedom, mm-hmm. and a lot more peace with me when I went to the beggar side, as opposed to staying. I mean, when I went to the giver side, as opposed to staying with the beggar side.
Okay. The giver side or the guru side?
The guru side.
Okay. There was a lightness, there was an ease of being, there was peace. Okay, good.
Yeah.
Thank you. Good. Okay, who else would like to share? Okay, anyone else in phone land? Oh, come on. One or two of you can say something.
I'll share.
Good. Go ahead, please. Uh-huh. Hello? Oh, we lost that. Okay. Someone else in phone land like to share? Come on.
Dr. Lane, can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear
you. My phone wasn't working very well.
Okay, go ahead.
As a beggar, I had many thoughts and images of situations. As a guru, I was in flow and just peace and mind was empty while I was thinking.
Okay, well, good. Well, if your mind was empty while you were, quote, thinking, what were you thinking?
I was observing the emptiness.
Well, okay, but that's still an ego activity.
Ah.
Okay.
Okay, good.
Ego observant. All right.
Yeah, you're right. Thank you.
Okay, well, what I suggest you do is pray and ask the Spirit to lift you to the place of being a guru.
Hmm.
Or have that approach.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. Okay, who else would like to share in phone land? One more. Come on, one more. Well, it's real interesting. You know, here's a talk about the guru and the beggar. Okay, and the teacher's asking you to share. Okay, and there's nothing coming forth.
Dr. Lane?
Mm-hmm.
I felt a freedom and I can't remember what you said, but there was a switch inside myself I got it, but I can't really explain it. But
we'll give it a shot.
That oneness, and that just that it's giving to God, it's giving to myself, it's giving. It's just
okay.
That there's no lack and limitation.
Well. Why don't you say that positively?
Oh, okay. We're supplied. It's here.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Even to give.
Okay, yeah, all right. We're in the oneness, we're in the flow. Okay.
Yes.
All right. And we're giving to ourselves, and it's just one endless loop, as it were. Okay. All right. Well, who here would like to share? Good.
I mean, at first, when you had the, you know, the situations come up, just for that second, I'm looking in their like category, you know, like this thing and this thing and this thing and this thing, and almost like a second of a judgment on how many areas were, and then all of a sudden, it just all disappeared. Like it wasn't like categories, like oh look at this or look at that. It just disappeared.
Yeah, what happened?
It was just like one, I guess maybe peace is the description, like just like a one.
So what I'm hearing you saying is you were busy judging how many categories
mm-hmm.
in your life
mm-hmm.
you were a beggar
yeah.
in, okay?
I mean, and that was like an instant of it, and then the rest of the process I moved into when you were
okay.
saying it. But
right.
I, in
and
that
then
instant,
all that
I
vanished?
Saw that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
It all vanished, and it was just like one
okay.
oneness.
All right.
Just disappear.
Okay. Okay, well, good. Okay. One more person from here would like to share. Who'd like to share? Anybody? Good, Jim.
So it sort of feels like the homework. So living royally. Oh.
No, you can't.
Okay. Sorry about that. Okay, so it I have images of being a beggar, and then the guru just seems to be more free and less complicated, and it's kind of like, why am I not always doing that? But it just feels like the right path to be on.
Okay, so it feels more free and less complicated.
Yes.
Okay, and the right path to be on. Okay. All right, well, good. Okay. All right. All right, well, and of course, there was a little judgment. Why aren't I on that or doing that all the time?
Yes.
Okay. It starts with a K and ends with an A. Hmm. Karma. Okay, if you could do that all the time, okay, you'd be God's first mistake. There'd be no reason for you to be in the body. Okay, and come to know yourself as soul, as spirit, through your own volitional choice. Because you would have done so. If you could hold that frequency and always be at God, there'd be no reason for you to be in the body. Okay, so you need to let go of the judgment of why aren't I doing this all the time? Okay? It's not expected. Okay? What's expected is using this life to move into that, and eventually your consciousness and your will become one with God. That's the whole point of the body you're wearing, of why you're wearing a body. Okay. Now, you can't get more free. You're either free or you're not. Okay? Just like you can't be 97% pregnant. You're either pregnant or you're not. Okay. So trust the process, okay, through God's grace and your own effort, and by following the spiritual instruction, you do attain mastership. And what are we mastering? And this is what I'd like to end up with. This is crucial. We're not mastering anything in the physical. So you don't have to have a great, perfect body. You don't have to be the world's greatest athlete or anything. We're not mastering anything in the astral or the imagination. We're not mastering anything, being master of emotions, have your emotions perfectly in balance, etc., etc. We're not mastering our thoughts, have perfect and wonderful and clear, beautiful thoughts. Okay? We're not even mastering the great unconscious, the great void stuff, all the stuff from the collective history of man that floats through us, that grab us, etc. Because we're not going to inherit that. We're not going to inherit the astral or the causal, or the mental, or the physical, or the etheric. But what we are mastering is knowing ourselves as soul, as spirit. We are mastering on this path that I bring forth the awareness of yourself as soul, as spirit, being able to be in the body and yet to have awareness of the different levels that the soul lives on. Okay? And that's the mastery. And of course, all that is love. So you're really mastering love. And we know from the teachings that love is letting go of volition every time. So, because we know that your will doesn't permit God's will. And we know that the Christed consciousness is about the alignment of your will with God's will, okay? And that happens when the soul is established in what's called the soul realm, or in eternal life, and no longer subjected to karma and reincarnation. Okay? And that's the freedom. That's the mastery. And isn't it interesting that this mastery, this incredible power, is really achieved by doing the opposite, by surrendering, by letting go of volition, by surrendering your agenda, by surrendering anything that separates you, by surrendering your beggarhood, as it were. So what are you asked to give up? Think about it. You're asked to give up all the pain, all the hurt, all the separation, all the lack, all the limitation, all the less preferred feelings and thoughts, etc. You're asked to give up everything that isn't you. You know, it was interesting. The other day, I had to go to a cemetery. And this cemetery was probably bigger than a lot of countries. I mean, it was so big that even with a map in hand, couldn't find the grave we were looking for. Had to go ask some of the workers working around there. And even then, they didn't know. Had to go get somebody else and finally... That it was so big, so many bodies just buried in the ground there. And isn't it interesting? But there wasn't a soul in there, in any of those graves? Not one soul? Not a single soul was in the grave. And yet, we walk around believing in this thing called death, in this illusion called death. Okay? Instead of that, we are soul, we are spirit, and we have that great responsibility of, and that great pleasure, and that great love of being charged with coming to know ourselves as soul, as spirit. Every soul has to do it sooner or later through the initiatory approach. That's how it's set up. Okay? So think about it, and I'll end with this. If God wants us home with Him, and God wants us to be with Him and to know our true inheritance, to know our true wealth, how could we possibly be beggars if God lives in us as us? We've got the Lord God Himself living within us as soul. How can we possibly be beggars? Okay, so the choice is yours to really to live as the spirit you are, live as the guru whose consciousness is at God and with God and is God, or as the beggar. Okay? And I support you in the former. You wish to live in the latter, I'll still love you, but my support for you is as the former. Okay, so we'll stop with that. Now, if you have any questions, I'll come back and have them answered. Oh. Okie dokie. If anyone has a question, I will attempt to answer it. Okay. Okay, Jim.
So I made the following notes. Tell me if this makes sense. The guru has no karma, is all spirit, and the beggar has got a lot of karmas of this world.
Okay, when you say the beggar has karmas of this world.
Well, karma is sort of like worldly thoughts, and you know, we're attached to stuff in the world, and we have, I don't know, what. Just that's how I word it.
Well, okay, thought. He has a lot of creations that he's responsible for, that he created as a soul, as he identified falsely with the world of form, with his thoughts,
right,
feelings, etc.
Okay.
Okay. The guru has obviously no karma other than whatever karma is needed just to hold the body down,
okay,
down here, that he willingly and consciously takes upon himself.
Okay, and then their spirit, they're all, they're like pretty much all spirit.
Well, no,
they're
not.
It can't be all spirit, but that's what I wrote down. So how was that? Teach me on that one.
Well, okay. You say he can't be all spirit. Okay. But in fact, he is all spirit.
Okay.
Okay, because that is that which he is. Okay. The body is the housing for the spirit. Okay, and he's not that, okay? The guru is not the body, okay? And, okay, is, you've heard of the 10th door? Okay, well, the 10th door is, okay, well, let me make it very simple. Okay, when it gets physicalized, okay, it gets physicalized as a door in a home or an office, etc. Okay. It is said God will guide your comings and goings. Okay. All right. So when you physicalize it, you will put a, depending on your religion, you would put a mezuzah there. Okay. You would put another, if you're another religion, put another sacred object there, you would bless the door, okay, to the house. All right, that's karma laden, that's the blindness. Okay, the 10th door is, of course, the upper part of the third eye. Okay, that's where the soul lives in the body. Okay, the guru is that soul and is identified with it. Okay, why is it called the 10th door? Okay, if you will count the openings in your body, okay, you will see that they come to 9. Okay, the 10th door is above that. Okay, so it's the consciousness of being with God, at God, or the 10th door. So yeah, in fact, the guru is that, okay? Now obviously that's not to say he hasn't agreed somewhere to make sure that he acts and behaves like other people in bodies. You know, he'll eat, he'll sleep, etc., etc., okay? But that's not the guru. The guru lives and maintains the dwelling at the 10th door, the upper part of the third eye. Okay? And, okay, some of you may have seen in some of the Indian, not necessarily sound cone traditions, but some of the Eastern traditions where the disciple will kiss the feet of the guru. Okay. Okay, it has to do with the basic understanding that the feet of the guru are at the upper part of the 10th door. I'm sorry, at the upper part of the third eye, or the, this is where the, that would be the lower part of the guru, as it were. Okay, so with the feet. Okay, and so the guru, or God, sits at the upper part of the third eye. Okay, and this is like the lowest part in the physical that it would reach at the 10th door. So the guru is all the way on up into the God realms, into God on down. Okay, now obviously the other traditions don't have necessarily that sense of all the realms or etc., etc., but they do have a basic understanding that the guru is not identified with the body. Okay, and that's why the feet are at the 10th door. So they go to kiss the feet. What they're really doing is they're kissing the 10th door. Okay, so that's the difference. The beggar has the karma upon him or herself, okay? The guru, in the mastery that he has really become and is, can even see through and beyond the separation that the beggar has created in his lives as a soul, you know, and doesn't buy into it. And that's the key difference. Okay, so as a guru often says to his disciples, I'm just like you, only more so. Meaning, yeah, I'm just like you, I'm wearing a body, etc. And I have a consciousness in me, I have a soul, I have a spirit. And it's of God, and it is God, just like you, only more so because that's my focus. Okay, I'm able to hold that focus and hold that frequency. Okay, and I've come, and I'm here to share the wealth and to educate you in that focus. So
the goal for the teacher is to have the students become gurus. Yes? Can we achieve that?
I hope not. Okay, if you have a guru whose goal is to have his students become gurus, okay, then you've got the wrong guru. Okay? Why am I saying this? Okay? Because no guru, a legitimate guru, has goals. That separation wouldn't even make any sense to the guru, okay? The guru whole job is to be present with God, hold that frequency, uplift others, okay, and help them as a soul. Help them in their returning home, okay? Yeah, it's his fervent wish that they do go home, that they can hold that frequency, okay? If they do, fine. And if they don't, they'll finish up in a few short lifetimes anyway. Okay, so that's the love of the guru. He's going to love you regardless, but he's also going to point the way and constantly refocus you into going home and knowing yourself as soul, as spirit. Okay, but in reality, see, going home isn't even the goal. Going home is a byproduct. Going to the guru. Going home is a result of your coming to know yourself as soul, as spirit, and of being up-vibrated, okay? And of doing your spiritual progression, and of, with very, very rare exceptions, entering into what's called eternal life, or being established in the soul realm, okay? And that's really the focus. Okay? As a byproduct of that, yeah, you finish up here and you go home. So going home isn't even a goal for the guru. It's a byproduct. Okay? Okay, because if he were to have that goal, okay, then he's talking out of two sides of his mouth. He's telling you, you can go home, which implies separation. At the same time, he's teaching you to be present with God. They can't coexist. You can't be present with God and have a separation. Okay, and we know that in the worlds of soul, of spirit, God lives on all the levels. So God's entirely present on all the levels. There's nowhere you can be inwardly in the inner worlds of spirit where God is not. Nowhere. Okay? Probably the only wish the guru has is that you love God with all your heart and soul and might and enjoy the life God's given you. Real simple. Okay. And maybe every now and then throw in a Hershey bar with almonds, you know, but other than that. Okay, any other question? I appreciate the question, thank you.
I have a question, Dr. Lane. Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Oh, well, earlier in the talk, you mentioned something about the political situation, the president, and I sort of interpreted that to mean that many people are expending a lot of energy battling that situation when... you know, that shouldn't be, that's not the proper focus. Now, my question is this. I can certainly go, you know, live my life knowing that everything that's going on is perfect. If it wasn't karmically correct, it wouldn't be happening. And completely divorce myself from, say, a political situation that I'm not happy with. On the other hand, what obligation or responsibility do I have as a soul? Not that I mean, I really appreciate it's not very likely that I can change the situation very much, but to the extent that I could change the situation and prevent a president or any other political figure from exercising negativity and creating karma, lacking compassion for other people or whatever, what responsibility do I have to just leave that alone or to take some sort of a position to improve the situation for all of you? So for also.
Okay. All right. I appreciate the question. All right. One doesn't necessarily imply the other. Okay. So for example, when I was saying all these people who don't agree with the president, okay, and they badmouth him. All right. And they want to run him out of office, and he's this and he's that, and they curse him out, and they do all sorts of things. Okay. Just because they don't like him or care for his politics, okay? They're busy creating karma, okay? And if he's your president or whoever it is, you'd want to send him the light of the Most High. So I suggest that, instead of running somebody down, okay? Also, for all you know, and I'm not going to personally comment on individual presidents or what their karma is or anything else like that, but for all you know, okay, maybe that's one of the things a president has to learn. Maybe he had been a powerful political leader. And so he comes around now and is given the opportunity to learn about caring, to learn to have compassion, to have kindness. Okay? So you don't want to judge them, somebody, because they don't have certain qualities, because you don't know what they're here to learn. Okay, just like you don't want to judge anybody for being rich or poor or this or that or anything else like that. Okay, you don't know what the karma is. So you want to refrain from judgments, okay? That's what is meant, all right? Also, yeah, it is karmically clear what's going on, all right? All right. So then, with that, you have a choice, okay? You can send them the light, hold them in your heart, etc., work it inwardly, or if you wish to get involved in change, get involved in change, okay? But do it neutrally, okay? So work for what you believe in. Yeah, that's part of fulfilling this level. Okay, you see, I'm not saying don't get involved, don't do anything, okay? What I am saying is, if you do it neutrally, do it lovingly, and don't go against anybody. So you don't have to be busy putting down the president or anybody else or the political system. Work for change, okay? You know, if you think that, for example, districts get gerrymandered just for certain political reasons that are really extremely undemocratic, then work to make sure that gerrymandering like that doesn't happen. Okay? If you believe that we really need to be a democracy and not a republic, and that we don't need the Electoral College anymore, for example, then work to have the Electoral College abolished. Okay, whatever you need to do. But do it neutrally and do it lovingly. And do it out of conviction and do it enthusiastically. But don't do it to go against anybody. Okay? All right, because you can trust the system is perfect and everybody's learning. We've all agreed to allow that learning to take place, okay? So you see, the choice isn't, it's not, see, we need to get away from the, and I'm glad you asked this question, it's a good question. We need to get away from the dualistic thinking of either I do nothing or I do everything, or if I don't act karmically, and everything's karmically correct, then I don't have to do anything. That's not it, okay? If everything is karmically correct, well, fine, yeah, you accept it, okay? Acceptance means you're neutral towards it. And if you so choose, you can work for change. Please do, okay? All right, and let me also just complete this by saying the most revolutionary thing you can do, okay? The most revolutionary thing you can do for all the planet, for every single individual, okay, is to walk the path of soul transcendence or any sound current path to completion. Okay? Because then that's one less soul contributing to weighing down this whole environment with karma. That's the most revolutionary thing. Focused on that, okay? And if you want to wish also to make certain changes in the political arena, this arena, that arena, whatever it is, please do so. Okay, but do it. Do it neutrally. Okay. Well, thank you. I'm glad you asked the question. Okay. Well, let's take one more, and then we can call it a night. Okay.
I mean, I want to suggest a tool.
Okay, please do.
Which is,
but nice and loud.
It's a talk and a tool for living free, which is, what do I have to do to be perfect, Lord? So I'm suggesting that. And also, Dr. Lane, I just am realizing, you said we've all agreed to allow the learning to take place. And I had seen that in like a smaller way, like the people in my life or family. But the learning totally, whether it's the president or everything, we've all agreed.
Oh, yeah.
I never saw that. Okay.
We all agreed to come on the karmic field. You know,
you
get on the highway, you all have an agreement to watch out for others, to drive as safely as possible, to be in cooperation with all the other vehicles, etc., etc. We have the same agreement as souls.
Mm-hmm. It's all orchestrated.
It's all orchestrated, exactly. Okay, and see, the guru would love each soul and would allow them their learning. Not to judge, hey, how come you're not more this? How come you're not that? Why do you think so? And you're so stupid, and you're this, and you're that. Okay? See, and even those judgments, they're all a result of false identification. Anyway, no soul is to perfect anything other than their spiritual reality of themselves as soulless spirit. Let them have their learning. Love them enough to have their learning. Okay? The perfection is in and with spirit. Okay, so putting down others for what they lack or don't have, or don't have this ability or don't have that ability, doesn't make any sense.
It's really perfect.
You know? Well, exactly.
And everything's an opportunity.
That's right. Everything is an opportunity. Okay. Okay, well, let's stop. Okay, so, oh, we have paid political announcement. Okay.